Yeah. God bless everyone. Welcome. I'm honored and thankful and beyond words to be here. My brother Jim would ask me to share the word. I could get emotional. I'm very thankful to be here. I'm going to share the word with you today. I'm going to be reading from the Newer Testament, it's called. It's from the... I'm going to get it right. The Hebrew Heritage Bible Society. It's a version, just like all the versions that are versions we have. It doesn't, as long as you understand it, it's good, you know, and it's the Word of God. So it's going to read a little different, probably, than some of the versions you've read, but you can follow along in your Bible, and you'll see that it really is the same thing. It's just saying something a little bit different. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. And I know you guys did last time. I listen to these teachings when I go for my walks. I put on my headphones and I walk and I listen. And it really blesses me. And to hear my brother teach, my friend, and to hear the Word of God, it's so wonderful. And this will tie into what you guys have been learning and studying the last few weeks. So we're going to start. I'm going to read the entire chapter, chapter 4 of Ephesians. So this is much smaller than my big giant print Bible. So, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1. So then, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk, living your lives in a way worthy of the calling with which you were called, with genuine humility and kindness, with patience, demonstrating long-suffering for one another in love. Be very diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit by binding yourselves together in shalom, peace. There is but one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope of your calling, to one Lord, to the one faith, to the one immersion in water, to one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Even so, to each one of us was given unmerited favor. That's right. To each one of us was given unmerited favor of God's strength, according to the measure of the gift from the Anointed One, Christ. For this reason, Scripture teaches, when he ascended up on high, he took captivity prisoner. He gave gifts to the people. What does it mean he ascended, except that also he descended into the lower regions of the earth? So he who descended is himself also the one who ascended far above all the heavens in order that he might fill everything. Moreover, he himself appointed some to serve as authoritative emissaries, some to serve in speaking prophecy, some to serve as evangelists, some to serve as pastors, and some to serve as teachers. All this is for the equipping of the holy people in the work of service, for the building up of the body of the Anointed One, Christ. This is that we all will come unto the oneness of faith, into the deeper spiritual knowledge of the Son of God, into the complete strength of maturity, even reaching to the measurement for the high stature of the fullness of Christ, the Anointed One. As a result, we will no longer be little children carried away by waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by fraudulent enticements devised by marketing agents, or by craftiness and deceitful scheming. You must speak the truth in love. We must grow up to maturity in every aspect of our relationship with him, who is our leader, the Christ, the Anointed One, from whom the whole body is being joined together according to the function of each individual member, held firmly together by every supporting ligament in order to cause growth in the body and to build itself up through love as each part does its work. So now, I insist and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk living your lives like heathen people in the futility of your minds. They are dull in their critical thinking, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous. They have given themselves over to lust, addicted to every kind of impurity, where more is never enough. This is not the way of life you learned from the example of Christ, the Anointed One. Have you really listened to him and been taught by him? Certainly, the truth is in Yeshua, Jesus. In reference to your former way of life, you put aside your old self, which was corrupted with lusts of deception. You must be renewed in the attitude of your thinking. You must put on your new self. So you have been created in the likeness of God, in a righteous way of living and in holiness of the truth. So then, put down the lie. Speak the truth, each one of you with one another. Clearly, we are all interconnected one to another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not provide the devil with an opportunity. Do not let the one who steals steal any longer. Instead, let that person work, accomplishing what is good through individual achievement. Then this person will have something to share with someone who has need. Do not let a single rotten word come out of your mouth. Instead, the way you talk should benefit other people, meeting their need at the time, providing grace by giving strength to those who listened to you. Never grieve the Holy Spirit of God. By the Spirit, you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Let go of all bitterness, strife, anger, rage, and abusive language. Push yourselves away from these feelings, along with every form of malice. Practice being kind to one another, showing compassion, forgiving each other, just like God in Christ the Anointed also has forgiven you. Ephesians 4. It's the Word of God. Quite honestly, I almost feel like I don't have to say anything else because the Word speaks for itself and the Word does the work. So, but I would want to just highlight something. Ephesians 4:30. I've read this, like all of you, I'm sure I've read this many times. I've read. If you've been in the Word more than a couple minutes, you've read this a long time. I've read this over and over again. But a few weeks ago, I read this verse, and it brought me to tears, quite honestly. And the Lord really spoke hard to my heart. It was loving, but it was something. And so, you know, I studied this and I read it and I pondered it and I prayed about it for a while and I realized it was something it was my turn to share back at Wellspring. So, you know, I asked the Lord, is this just for me? Because, you know, a lot of times we can read stuff and we get excited. We think we need to tell everybody, but sometimes the Word's just for you for that time, right? But sometimes it isn't. And I really feel strongly that this is for the church, you know, and I'm extremely blessed to be able to share this with you guys. And also, it's a blessing because the church is bigger than our little fellowships, and sometimes we don't realize how big the body of Christ is. It's you know, there are millions of people in China in underground churches, you know. That's just in China, and they're underground churches, you know. So it's huge. So I thought, man, should I really share this? But Lord, share it, and there's a reason, and you'll get it, I'm sure. So we're going to read it. Never grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Yikes. A second. What in the world? You know, I know what grief is. Most of us do. But I looked it up to make sure that it wasn't just me, you know, defining a word because I experienced something. So I looked it up, and it it really does mean to grieve someone is to cause sorrow, harm, sadness, affliction, woe, to cause one to mourn, to cause misery. I don't want to cause the Holy Spirit that. Now, I was taught that sin was missing the mark, right? I grew up, everybody grows up in a tradition. If you grew up in a Christian family or a church, we have different, you know, we're taught differently. You know, and in the first one that I was involved with, I was taught that sin, when you sinned, it was a black mark on the report card of your soul, right? And you could get rid of these black marks by doing certain things, saying certain prayers and stuff. And then as I left that particular group and went to another group, I was taught that sin was missing the mark. You're aimed at doing the word of the will of God, and when you mess it, when you don't, you've just missed the mark. Well, not that big a deal, right? I mean, not a big deal, so I missed the mark. I tried, right? It's the thought that counts, right? Or that it's, you know, you walk off the path, or you backslide, or it's just an error. You just made a mistake, you know? It's not that big a deal, you know? I'm sorry, folks, but making God sorry and hurt him is bad. That is what sin is. That is what sin does. We grieve the Holy Spirit. It is beyond, you know, I never had more incentive in my life not to sin when I read this. Because it's like, yikes, like, I'm, wow, you know, do I want to make the Holy Spirit sad? But then I think of John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, this is Jesus talking, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. If we grieve the Holy Spirit, do you think it grieves Jesus? You think it grieves God, our Father? Yes. It, you know, I don't want to get too emotional, but you could cry over it. You know, it's like, oh, you know, so I just did this or I said that. Wasn't that big a deal? Well, maybe it wasn't a big deal to you, and maybe even it wasn't seem that big a deal to somebody else, but it was a big deal to God. Because it doesn't say, do not make the Holy Spirit mad. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit gets angry. It says the Holy Spirit grieves. And we read the things that we need. If we don't do this stuff, it's like, how do you not grieve? Read chapter 4. If you're not doing Ephesians chapter 4, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And that should give us incentive to live a holier life. Look, Jimmy's my friend, right? He's as close to me as a brother. He's closer to me than a brother. I would never do anything on purpose to hurt Jimmy. If I knew that something would cause Jimmy grief, I would do everything in my power not to do it and to stop other people from doing it as well. I've never thought that way about the Holy Spirit. Until a month ago, like a month and a half ago. Never in 40-something years of being in the Word of God. It's serious. You know, we hear a lot of great sermons, and it's wonderful that we, you know, we can learn who we are in Christ. We are something. We're not. When people say, oh, I'm only human, I go, excuse me? No, you're not. Stop using that excuse. The only human part's dead, remember? The old man's dead. That's the carnal man. No, you're not. You're more than that, right? Those are all great things to know, and that we have power, and that we can. But, and they make God happy, which is wonderful. But I don't want to make God sad. I do not want to hurt, and I don't want to hurt my Lord and Savior, good Lord Almighty. Please forgive me. You know what I mean? You know. But really, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, God, I'm really sorry. Oh, geez, you know, I'm like, and then I remembered Romans 7, Paul said, you know, I wouldn't know sin but for the law, but for Torah, instruction in righteousness. That's what Torah is. Instruction, that's what this whole book is, this whole Bible. It's instruction in righteousness. This is our instruction book. And I would not know that I grieved the Holy Spirit. How would you know that unless you read the Word of God? It's really important that we take reading the Word of God seriously, and when we read it, it's to you. When you read the Bible, it's to you. I used to read the Word, and I would read something, and I'd go, oh, man, Ed needs to hear this. Well, I got to share this because Bobby, boy, he, you know, I read it now, and I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry, that's me. You know, it's like, no, it's me. It's me, oh, Lord, it's me. You know, yeah, I don't do that anymore. And that's also grieving the Holy Spirit, because that's judging your brother. And, you know, I'm not Jesus, okay? I'm not the master. I don't get to make the call on that one. So, you know, how bad is sin? How bad is it? It's so bad that the Word of God had to become flesh. That God's only begotten Son had to be beaten beyond recognition, tortured beyond our imagination, and then brutally crucified, the worst possible execution humans have ever come up with. It took that to take care of sin. Ay, ay, ay. And we're so cavalier about it. We are. I'm sorry. We are. Me. But we're cavalier about it. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to try harder, folks. Now, I need to try harder, folks. Praise God. He forgives us, right? That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's like super mercy and grace beyond belief. Beyond belief. But I'm going to wrap it up with the next line of this. But I'll read it over. Never grieve the Holy Spirit of God. By the Spirit, you are marked with the seal for the day of redemption. I cannot get over that it's in the same breath, right? Because the Word of God is God breathes. In the same breath of telling me not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and I'm feeling like, you know, doo-doo. Then I read, but by the Spirit, you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. What? I'm sealed? That word, I can hardly pronounce it in Greek. I can do Hebrew better, but Greek. It's like sragizo, right? It means sealed, a mark, a seal of security. That's the actual definition of the word, a seal of security, right? It also means in order to prove or confirm something, you have a seal, right? You seal it, right? Or to attest to it. To prove beyond a doubt, it means that. To prove one's testimony to a person that he is what he says he is. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are sealed. Just like if the king sent you a letter, he seals it. You open it, it's from the king. Nobody questions it. If you're an ambassador and you've got the seal of the king, you're an ambassador. No one questions it. It's legal. It's binding. Okay? We are sealed. We're sealed with a prompt. It's a token of proof. It's the inscription or impression made by the signet ring of a master or a king. What? By the Spirit, you are marked and sealed for the day of redemption. deliverance or releasing by payment of a ransom. That's a definition of redemption. What? A price paid for slaves or captives. That's what redemption was. To liberate from misery. How about that for a great definition of you're redeemed, right? You've been liberated from misery. Whew. It's the payment that Jesus made. And how in the world would anyone willingly go through with what Jesus went through? Right? It says, for the joy that was set before him. And I pray about that, and I think about that, and I read the word, and he saw us. We're part of the joy that was set before him. He died, knowing that if he did it, we'd all be in this room, worshiping his Father, worshiping him, blessing him, loving each other. So, want to leave on a high note, no one can take you out of his hand. No one. Don't let the fact that we do sin, you know, make you curl up into a ball. Be thankful that we're saved forever and that we stepped into eternity the day we made our Lord Jesus our Lord. Right? We're there now. It's now. Where is the kingdom of God? It's here now. So let's live like kingdom people. Let's act like a family, and let's praise our God. And thank you guys for listening to me. Thank you. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Jeff. Amen.
Amen.